Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call this Thursday, September 16th, 2021, Akron Technical Advisory Committee meeting to order. Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Moving on to minutes, August 10th, 2021 meeting. Entertain a motion.
Second, Devante.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to staff reports. Financial progress report, attachment 3A in your packet. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So attachment 3A shows us through basically 1 month of the new fiscal year. We expended about 7% of our budget, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Curtis? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Amasi, so moved.
Second,
Bashir.
Rittman.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. To the technical progress report, Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for technical progress, I think the biggest thing is just obviously we await an approval of our infrastructure bill from the House side, as the Senate has approved an infrastructure bill. We had been hearing September 25th would be the day when they would committed to moving on that bill. As they run it concurrently with the other stimulus funding that's in the works. As of now, we're still hoping that's been the case. There hasn't really been a lot of talk on it, and I don't get the sense that it's controversial in any sort of way in terms of actually getting to approval, but we await that approval and still trying to figure out exactly what some of the budget impacts will be. To us, in terms of, I think we are expecting them to be positive. However, being able to say within percentages is going to be difficult at this point. But with that, no further things to discuss. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Curtis? Hearing none. Moving on to the AMATS Federal Fund Report, Attachment 3C. Mr. Poulet.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a whole lot to report on. We're hoping that between this meeting and next meeting and next week's policy meeting that we can move forward with approving our changes, our funding policy guideline changes. And then after that, we will post the applications on the MS website, and then we'll begin to accept those whenever you want to send them in to us. The due date is October 29th, but you know, feel free to send them in earlier if you'd like. It would just give us a chance to get a little head start on them. We do not require paper copies. If you would just like to email them to me, that's really all I need. And if I need a paper copy of something, I can, you know, I can make a copy of the of what you sent me. If we do have a little grace with legislation, we'd like to have legislation with your projects, but I understand that, you know, sometimes the dates of council meetings do not always line up with the dates that you're sending applications. So if you can't send legislation with your application, just send it as soon as you can afterwards. I have a little chart on the bottom of attachment 3C. It shows the different fundings, fundings that we'll be administering. STBG is a maximum project ask of $6 million, and then TASA and the resurfacing program is a maximum of $700,000. And then one last thing is with this, overall with this round of funding, we expect to have roughly around $30 million to be available for new projects. That does include over-programming. And you can see on the bottom of the sheet there, there's a breakdown. We plan to allocate about $14 million to STBG, $14 million to resurfacing, and then around $2 million toward CASA. So if there's any questions, we'd be glad to, I'd be glad to answer them. Oh, and one last thing on the applications, there's going to be two questions that you're probably not used to seeing. The first question is, will this be a PDIP project? And that means, I'll get into that in a few moments, but you'll have to indicate if you want to take advantage of a new program we have where we can reduce the amount of local funding to 10%. And also, there's another question that's going to be on there that I haven't had before, and that is we want you to indicate if you plan to have your project be local let or ODOT let. And that just saves a lot of confusion later on in the process. So if there's any questions, I'm glad to answer them.
Any questions for Mr. Foulet?
Dave, when are the actual forms going to be available?
Well, if everything goes as planned and they're approved at next Thursday's policy meeting, it'll be shortly after that. We'll have them posted on our website, or if you want, I can send them to you directly, but they will be posted on the website after next Thursday's policy meeting.
Okay. All right. Follow up with Dave if you've got additional questions. Moving on to old business. AMATS funding policy guidelines, attachment 4A in your packet. Mr. Foulet again.
Okay, thank you. Last month, I gave you the proposed changes to our funding policy guidelines, and we didn't actually ask for approval at our last meeting because I wanted to give you time to look at them, and if you had any questions, to contact us. What I'd like to do is just briefly go through those changes. The first change is the Project Delivery Incentive Program, the program that I just referred to, or PDIP. This is a program where we will reduce your local match to 10% if you can program your project within a specified time period. For resurfacing, it'll be 2 years, and for other STBG programs, it'll be 4 years. The maximum though that we will reduce it is $100,000. So there is a limit, but that will especially help you a lot with resurfacing programs. The next item is reduce the number of projects funded per sponsor from 3 to 2 per funding category per funding cycle. The third is add language about ODOT let and local let process. The next two pertain to STPG revisions. We want to award some points if the project involves a landslide issue. And then we also want to better define the complete street components. And we used to just kind of award points based on well, bicycle, does it have a bicycle component or transit or a pedestrian component? And we want to maybe better define those so that it's more fairly done. And then we want to change level of service, which is a letter grade, A, B, C, D, E, or F, to percent free flow speed. That's the new That's the new methodology that we use now, percent free flow speed, and we want to reflect that on our applications. And the last one is pertaining to resurfacing program revisions. We want to change the maximum amount of ADT points to 15 for 15,000 and above, and then anything under 15,000 will just be the ADT divided by 1,000. Last time you had there was a maximum of 10 points for 10,000. We want to up that to receiving 15 points if you have an ADT of 15,000 or above. And the attached funding guidelines are, or the revised funding policy guidelines are attached. If you need to look those over again, the staff does recommend approval of the described changes.
All right, any questions or comments?
I had a question. Regarding when a bridge or a bridge road is closed, are there specific requirements from the applicant that they have to provide to you? So, background on this is in the issue one program in the last round, we had some discussion with an applicant as to when a bridge is actually closed, or what the hierarchy is or requirements are. And I just wondered if you required anything, or if AMATS required anything similar as to, you know, a road, is it temporarily closed? Is it permanently, you know, closed until the infrastructure is improved?
We don't have anything specific. Anything that's closed would be closed because the structure needs replaced or fixed. There's not a whole lot of these locations around, but we do not really have anything specific to define that, other than, you know, the structure has failed, it's washed out, it's failed, it's unsafe, and it's closed until it's either replaced or fixed. Obviously, this would not apply to something that is closed permanently. If a road or a bridge is closed permanently for some reason, we wouldn't want to spend money on it then.
Sure. I mean, hypothetically, in a township, if, you know, with the township trustees closing a road due to a overnight landslide be sufficient, or is that a county engineer?
I think we would be looking for documentation, like with the landslide one specifically, as we've talked through it with our subcommittees, is that we'd be looking for documentation of, like, continued erosion. The reality for us is that we are not going to do any emergency funding type projects because we're 4 or 5 years out. So this would more be for roads that, like in the landslide side, that would be, hey, we know this road's going, and it could be tomorrow, but it could be 3 years from now. So therefore, you know, it's incumbent on the community to sort of document what they, you know, what exists. Are we seeing things in the roadway? And if that's documented and, you know, our committees feel good about it, then we would approve it. On the bridge side, it's kind of like, as Dave was saying too, if there's documentation that, hey, there's, you know, the bridge is faulty, or I think State Route 14 in Streetsboro is a good example of that a few years ago, where an inspection found a, you know, I can't remember what, Chad could probably talk about it better than I could. Right, Chad?
Talk about which part?
You weren't even listening. But the bridge on 14 that you guys had to close for emergency because of the inspection?
Yes. That was certainly an emergency. That was, we lowered the water down and saw that the piers were crushed and the bridge was in imminent failure.
Yeah. So, like, if we have documentation like that, I think that's what we would be looking for.
It's just like any time you load grade a bridge as well, right? So you go through an inspection, and based on the criteria, it ends up getting load graded. So if you do an inspection and you're beyond that point of load grading to the point of it dictates that you need to close it, I think that would satisfy it. The roadway, I guess. The landslide, I think, could be tougher in my eyes, but shut down roads for that.
Yeah, I think the trouble. Yeah, I mean, we wanted to include this, but it's like Curtis said, the issue is usually when you have a situation like this, something's closed or something's moving, you almost need to, you know, get to it pretty quick. And unfortunately, the way our program is, just the nature of our program is, you know, we don't operate that way, but. You know, it's just something to have in the toolbox if you need to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's logical to me. I just wanted to ask a question because with climate change, it seems like these events happen faster than 20, 30 years ago.
Yes, I agree.
Chad answered. Chad took care.
Okay. Anybody else have questions or comments for Mr. Poulet? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Ball, I move to approve.
Hadley, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. I see no new business. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 2021-13, Attachment 6A, Mr. Poulet.
Okay, thanks again. Resolution 2021-13 is approving Amendment 12 to the TIP. This amendment involves combining some projects and also making some changes to existing projects. There is actually three groups of projects that we want to combine because they're close or adjacent to each other, and it would just make a little more sense to do them together. The first group is in Portage County. It's two resurfacing projects on Talmadge Road and then one on New Milford Road. Those three will be combined into one project, and they are scheduled in fiscal year 2022. The next couple projects are in Ravenna, Riddle Street, and Chestnut Street. These two are scheduled in fiscal year 2022. The next set of projects are in Green. These are the two big roundabouts. State Route 241, Maslin Road, and Butler and Franks, and State Route 241, Maslin Road, and Corporate Woods Parkway. Those two will be done simultaneously for maintenance of traffic and for just better efficiency. Now, the next three projects are projects that just have changes to them. The first one is Ravenna Road in the city of Twinsburg. We want to move that from fiscal year 24 to fiscal year 22. The next one is Steele's Corners Road in Cuyahoga Falls. It had a tentative construction date of fiscal year 2025. And because of that, it was actually outside the dates or parameters of our current TIP. So we want to move that project into fiscal year 22, so that also means adding it to our current TIP. And then the last change is Monroe Avenue in Talmadge. This was one of our recent resurfacing projects. And the city of Talmadge would like to do this project with their citywide resurfacing program. So they have asked us if they could do it themselves and without the assistance of AdMax. So this would be a cancellation. But this does not, create any adverse funding balances or anything. So. Those are the changes proposed. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions for Dave? Hearing no questions, I'll entertain a motion.
Jim Bowling moves to approve.
Moore second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to resolution 2021-14, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution seeks to add recently awarded ODOT and Ohio EPA funds to the TIP for Metro RTA in fiscal year 2022. The state is awarding these funds through its Ohio Transit Partnership Program and the Diesel Mitigation Trust Fund Program. These funds are derived from state general revenue funds and from the Volkswagen Settlement Fund. The VW funds are part of a court-ordered settlement stemming from auto emissions violations that Volkswagen committed several years ago. Metro is requesting the addition of $500,000 in state funds for the design of a new maintenance and operations facility. The total cost for the design of the new facility is approximately $1.5 million and includes $967,000 in federal funds. Metro is also requesting the addition of $6.6 million for the purchase of 7 CNG and 2 electric buses. Metro would also like to add $420,000 in state funds for a planning study. The total cost is $500,000 to study bus rapid transit in the area. And lastly, Metro would like to add $175,000 for the acquisition of IT hardware. All of the above projects are scheduled in fiscal year 2022, and the staff is requesting approval of resolution 2021-14. Are there any questions?
Hearing no questions for Jeff, I will entertain a motion.
Amasi moved to approve.
Moore second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Now moving on to resolution 2021-15, Ms. Davis-Lytle.
Good afternoon. Each year, ODOT requires AMATS to compare the work proposed in the previous year's work program to the work that was actually completed. Attachment 6C is a summary of the fiscal year 2021 year-end completion report. Planning work necessary was completed by the end of the fiscal year on June 30th, this past June 30th. All work remains within budget. Staff is requesting approval of resolution 2021-15 to submit the 2021 year-end completion report to ODOT. I can answer any questions.
Any questions for Heather? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Bowling second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to other business. Formation of a 2022 nominating committee.
Yes, so as you all know, this is the we're getting close to the end of the year, with December being our last meeting for the Technical Advisory Committee. Mr. Chiskowski has done an excellent job, and his term is coming to an end after 2 years. Mr. Costco is our current vice chair. What we'd be looking for is one or two people to volunteer to be a part of the nominating committee to select and to potentially nominate a new chair and new vice chair for the next 2 year term. And as we've always said, that being on the nominating committee ensures that you are not part of the group. But we try to make it as painless as possible in case you are. So it'd be great to have, you know, one or two hands in the air that, and this would just be via email, it doesn't have to be face to face, you know, that kind of thing. Bob,
put me
thank
on
you.
There
thank
again. You.
Come on, Jim. All right.
Thank
oh,
you.
And Jim. All right. Thank you, Mr. McClear. So that'll be our nominee.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. Moving on to 2020 AMATS meeting calendar, attachment 7B.
Yes. Thank you again. As you can see, attached And I can't seem to find mine. Oh, thank you, sir. We have a draft calendar for next year. You can see we are planning on having an annual meeting next year. Typically, same calendar as usual, six meetings and an annual meeting. So we are looking for a motion to approve our current draft calendar.
I'll second. Any second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Hearing none, motion passes. I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
I have a question.
So
is the annual meeting scheduled in a couple weeks? Has that been canceled?
Yeah, that has officially been canceled. Okay. Yeah.
I will move to adjourn.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you, everybody. We'll see you in December.